Play that guitar. Amen. What a blessing, y'all. Thank you so much. What a blessing that is. It's always difficult to come up with a theme for homecoming, and especially with COVID. It's kind of hard to have a celebration, all the fixings and all the food and all that kind of thing. But let me tell you something. You're not here by accident. You didn't just show up because it's homecoming and you wanted to hear Mountain Faith sing. You're here by divine appointment. And what I'd like to ask you to do is for these next few moments that we have, as the Word of God is spoken, as the Word of God is preached, would you just pray this simple prayer, God, speak to me. God, I need to hear from you. God, I need you to do something in my life that only you can do. Mount Faith was not here to entertain us. Brother Appleby, who I've known for many, many, many years, he babysat me. No, I'm just teasing. But he is not here to make us feel good. He is here to help us to worship God through the Word of God. And so, Brother Larry, if you'll come on up, if you would, I want to pray for you and pray that God would open our hearts up to him through the man of God preaching God's word. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, what you've done, and what you're going to do. I praise you for the music. We've gotten to be drawn closer to you through it. Amen. But God, I thank you also now for your word. And I'm asking you, God, as you use Brother Larry, that you would bring honor and glory to yourself through him. Hide him behind the cross. Point us to Jesus Christ. And may you do the work that needs to be done, because you are the only one worthy Amen. Of praise, honor, and glory. Amen. I pray that you'd fill Brother Larry's mind, fill his mouth, exactly what you want to be said in a way that brings you glory and draws people to you. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Brother Brian. It's been a real joy to be here, and we're continuing to enjoy ourselves here at Victory Baptist Church. We were supposed to be in a Victory Baptist Church last weekend in Panama City, but it was canceled due to COVID in the church. Of course, we all know about canceled meetings, right, and COVID. Be nice when all that gets behind us, won't it? But we are just thrilled to be here with you. We've had a wonderful time with the Schulers yesterday, with the Elk, and being able to go out to dinner and just talk about old times. And it's just a wonderful experience to be with friends again. And one of the things that my wife and I have enjoyed over the years in ministry, and we're thankful that we have had the privilege of serving the Lord together for over 40 years. And by the way, my wife Patty is over here with the sling. She has just recently had rotator cuff surgery. She got that by swinging an iron skillet at me. So I hope that she's learned her lesson. But no, I've learned to love that skillet. It makes really good cornbread. But she is healing from rotator cuff surgery, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had to do ministry together. For over 40 years. 30 of those years was we served on the administration of a Bible college in Jacksonville, where Brother Brian attended Bible college, and I was the administrative dean. She was the dean of women, and also taught. She taught English. She taught effective writing. She taught etiquette, and I have failed all of her classes. But we're just thankful for the opportunity to serve together. And then for 9 years, after 30 years there in Jacksonville, the Lord led us to pastor in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And that was a wonderful experience, and we're thankful for that. And during that time, from 2006 until I resigned the church, in 2017, the Lord allowed us to do full part-time mission work. And He's led us to a number of areas around the world to be able to serve as encouragers to missionaries, especially church planters, and being able to go to a number of places in India and Africa and Central America, Middle East. And the Lord has opened marvelous doors for us to be able to do that part-time since 2006. And then when I resigned the church in Hendersonville a few years ago, it was because the Lord had led us to do our mission work full-time. And so we are in the kind of a transition period to full-time mission work, and God's doing great things. COVID has tried its best to slow things down, like it has a lot of ministries. But like Pastor said, we serve a sovereign God, and He's in control, and we know that He has a plan, and that'll be part of what I'll be preaching this morning. He has a plan for all of us, and it's a good plan. It's a sovereign plan. And no matter what you've done in your life, God has a plan for you tomorrow and in the days ahead. And it's His plan, and we just need to be yielded to that plan. But we are thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to do the mission work and to be able to continue to do that, Lord willing, for many more years. We have prayer cards on a table out in the lobby, and we would appreciate your prayers for us as we do this transition in ministry, and to have an opportunity to do the best we can to encourage other missionaries, and especially church planters on the mission field. One of the sad things about missions these days, one is that there are not enough going into the harvest. Another is that the ones that are out there are really going through difficult times and they're discouraged. And our ministry, part of what we want to do is try to encourage those missionaries to stay on the field and continue to do the work of the Lord in a way that would bring glory to Him. And you see, those missionaries out there, they don't have the luxury of or the blessing of being able to just call someone from another state or maybe from your own state to come and preach and to help them and to be a blessing in their ministry and to encourage them. They're out there by themselves for the most part. And we want our ministry to be a part of encouraging these folks to stay on the field and to do the work of the Lord. And He's opened a number of doors for us to be able to do that. The most recent door that He has opened is our mission board that we became a part of, Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples in Jacksonville, when we went into full-time missionary work. Last year, they asked me if I would serve as a field administrator along with our work to interns. And what we want to do is we want to get into churches and Bible colleges and try to get young people connected with missionaries that we know that are on the field, and to be able to go and spend time with that missionary. Our trips, we've had the privilege of taking nearly 50 teams since 2006 to different mission fields. But this part of it is going to have someone going and spending several weeks. Due to visa issues, you can't stay more than about 3 months. But we want to try to encourage interns to get on the field, connect them with good missionaries, and that is important because if you look at a study of missions, you'll find that most all missionaries that are on the mission field today have been involved in some kind of mission trip or some kind of internship. And so we want to do that, and we want to continue to do that. So please pray for us as we go through this transition, that God would allow us to do His perfect will and His timing and in the way He wants it done. Sure have enjoyed Mountain Faith this morning. I showed Brendan, I believe, a picture of our oldest son, and he's a beard guy. And Matt is really proud of his beard. I was telling Brendan a while ago that I was walking down the a sidewalk in Jacksonville a while back with Matt. We were going to breakfast together, and Pastor, we passed another guy who had a nice beard like Brendan and like Matt, and that guy looked over at us and he goes, You know, these guys with beards, they're proud of those beards. And Matt's proud of his. Matt's tried to get me to do it, and I just haven't done that. I'm afraid I'd look like I had the mange or something, and somebody would want to spray me with something. I don't know. But this group has really been a blessing this morning, and God bless you as you labor together in ministry. And I pray for you as I pray for us and for other people who are involved in traveling. COVID's made it a very difficult thing to do for singing groups, for evangelists, for missionaries. And we need your prayers through all this. And we'll certainly be praying for this church. And this church is especially close to us because we're very close to your pastor and his wife. And boy, we just had a wonderful time yesterday. Thankful for the nice box that we had in the cabin when we arrived with goodies in it and the cabin. If you don't know about the cabin, oh, the cabin. It is every missionary's dream to be in to stay in a place like that. And it's just really been a blessing to us, Pastor, and we sure do appreciate it. And the wonderful meal last night, and it's all been great, and we thank you for it. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and turn to Luke chapter 22, the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. As the Lord laid this message on my heart, it's always amazing how I can sit in a service and hear songs that are sung that really give me a bit of a confirmation of preaching the right message this morning, and especially the one that Brendan sang so bad. Leastwise, he said that he sang so bad, but you did a great job on it. Something about I See Jesus, or I think that was, I can't get the exact name going on it. It just really gave me a confirmation about what to preach this morning. Of course, the Lord always does that and gives the final confirmation. But one of the things that we have been burdened about, and I've been burdened about, is whether it be in India or whether it be in Africa or Central America or Middle East, wherever we go, one of the saddest things about Christendom, about Christianity, is running into people who have hitched themselves up to some type of hitching post, and they're stuck there. And a lot of times it's over some failure in their life, over something that the devil is using as a weapon against them to make them think that they cannot be used by God in some way. And it's a sad thing to see people who are at these hitching posts, and they've fallen. Don't we all? We all fall. We all mess up. We all do things that we end up feeling so bad about and saying to ourselves after we've done it, boy, that stunk all the way to heaven. But, you know, we can stop and think about what happened in this passage here that I'm about to read to you. It's about Peter, and it's about his relationship with Jesus. And in verse 54 of chapter 22 of Luke, it says, "And they took him," and that's Jesus, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, "and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I'm not.' And about the space of an hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray once again and thank you for the encouraging prayer by Pastor before this message. And Father, we've heard good singing that has prepared our hearts for your word. And now as I handle your word, Father, I would ask for the guidance of the precious Holy Spirit to give me the right words to say, and that I would not say one word more. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day when they would accept Him. And Father, for those who are stuck, who have messed up in some way, and Satan's just really running them through the ringer over that, I pray that we'd look at Peter and what you did in his life. And Father, encourage us today to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus. For it's in His prayer, is in His name that we do pray. Amen. There's a commercial that I have seen several times, and I'm sure you have too. It involves an elderly lady who had fallen in her kitchen. She's on the floor, and the commercial has her saying, "Please help me, I have fallen and I can't get up." Have you ever fallen down spiritually? Well, the fact of the matter is, we all have. While running this race, being human and having to live in the flesh that we live in, we fall. We get tripped up by the devil. And what I want to start off right away saying this morning is that you are not a failure if you fall. You're not a failure if you fall. You're only a failure if you don't get back up. So when we stop and think about that, if you get up just once more than you fall, you're a success. And when we look at this passage that we've read this morning out of Luke, think about this. Peter, in this passage, and this one is a little more mild than what you would find in Matthew's account of what went on here. Matthew's account says that Peter cursed. And he started cursing and carrying on. And I don't know how you would feel if Brother Brian did that, especially if he did it in front of young people like Peter did. Well, you would probably be looking for another pastor. But the fact of the matter is, that's exactly what Peter did. And in spite of it all, God gave Peter a new start. Peter learned how to do something that we need to know how to do as believers. And that is, when we fall, when we fail, and we all do, we need to learn how to fail forward. We need to learn how to fall forward. And when you stop and think about that, here's a thought that I want you to take home with you today. Failure doesn't have to be a hitching post. I mentioned that earlier. Failure does not have to be a hitching post. God wants it to be a guidepost in your life. We can learn from our failures and our sins. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this morning that God has a way of bringing good things out of bad. And a lot of people today have low self-esteem by thinking God sees them in light of their failures. And, you know, when I think about mission work, Pastor, well, the things that we run into in trying to encourage people to go into the harvest field and to yield their life to any kind of full-time Christian service, or especially what we would be more heartfelt about would be worldwide missions. There are two things that I think that Satan uses. One is pride. Thinking that, well, there's no money in that deal. I'm not going to do that. And you know, I run into young people and people that I talk to about missions, and they're not ashamed to say that. They're not ashamed. That's not for me. I've got to go after the American dream. Well, you know, the Lord may be using the diminishing aspect of the American dream in a way that we may not see exactly right now just yet. We may have some rough days ahead, folks. But as things look bad on the horizon here of all the stuff that's going on, it is giving light to the fact that I believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He's coming soon. But you know, the other thing that I run into, and this is what the message focuses on this morning, is running into good people who want to serve the Lord, but are hitched up to that hitching post, and they feel like God sees them in light of their failures. Not so. That's not the God that you and I serve today. My dad, I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home. And my dad was a good disciplinarian, and he kept us straight, and I'm thankful for that. And I don't think I would be in ministry today if it were not for the godly parents that I had. But you know, I grew up in Florida, and one of the things that I loved to do as a kid was I would get my dad's garden hose, and I would take that hose out to the yard, and I would run it down in the ground. And all this sand would come up, you know, and it would create a little sand mound there. And then I had my little Green Army men. You guys remember those little Green Army guys that we had? And I'd put them on those mounds around in the yard and have war, have battles. Well, my dad stopped me one day and he said, "Larry, look at what you're doing to the yard." I looked at my dad and I said, "Yeah, isn't that neat?" And he said, "No, it's not." And he said, "I want you to stop because it's messing up the yard. And not only that, one day you're going to get my hose stuck in the ground and it's not going to come out." Well, I was all right for a little while. And I managed to withstand the temptation. But then one day it was just too great. There was the garden hose. There was the yard. Here's my army men waiting. And they needed just one more mound. And so out came the garden hose, and it went down into the ground. Do I have to tell you what happened? That thing got stuck in the ground, and I pulled for all I was worth, and I could not get it out of the ground. So here's my dad's garden hose going across the yard, doing a little loop down into the ground, stuck there. And I'm telling you, I was not looking forward to that 57 Chevrolet pulling up in the driveway that afternoon, because I knew there was going to be a board meeting. And my dad was chairman of the board. Well, sure enough, that's what happened. And there were other things that I did, crazy things as a kid. But you know, I'm glad that my dad, from that day forward, did not introduce me to his friends as saying, "Hey, I want you to meet my son Larry. He messed up my garden hose and my yard, and other things he could have said about me." My earthly father had no need for such memories. Well, can I just submit to you this morning, my heavenly father has no need for such either. And when we think about that, when God forgives, Scripture says that He forgives as far as the east is from the west. Now, that's not to say that there are no consequences for our sin. But from a judgmental perspective, God doesn't hold them against us. But I want to say this, if we fail God, and we all know that we do, it will probably be in a point of our greatest strength. I think Scripture bears record of that. We're looking at Peter. Peter's greatest strength that we would probably all admit was his courage. Peter had courage when the other disciples did not. It was Peter when he stepped out of the boat on the Sea of Galilee and beginning to sink. But at least he was the one who had courage to step out on the sea. When it came time for them to arrest Jesus in the passage that we've read, if we were to go back to verse 50, it was Peter that pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. And then in verse 56, he's cowering down to a teenage girl. Peter failed in the area of his strength. Moses is described in Scripture as the meekest among men, but he lost his temper. He killed a man. He struck a rock when he was instructed to speak to that rock. He failed in an area of his strength. Abraham is known for his faith, but lied in Egypt about Sarah being his wife because he didn't have enough courage to believe that God would take care of him. We could go on and on with other illustrations of people in the Bible. We could talk about David, depicted as the picture of purity, the apple of God's eye, a man after God's own heart. And yet he committed adultery. He set a man up to die. He failed in an area of his strength. All these illustrations that I just gave you show that. We all have a tendency, if we're not careful, to leave our strengths unguarded. And so that's why I believe Paul said what he said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Why did Paul say that? I believe he said that because he knew then that he was depending on the Lord and not himself for his strength. Pride does go before destruction, and a haughty spirit is going to come before a fall. If you look back at verse 33, we see that something that we can admire that Peter said, at first glance at least we can admire it, when he said unto the Lord, "I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Now, when we look at that, it sounds good at first. But we've got to understand that there's a difference in saying, "I can do all things through Christ," or just saying, "I can do all things." You see, I believe that a boastful man is a man who is tempting the devil to tempt him. And the devil's ready to act on that. You see, before we sin, the devil is a tempter. After we sin, he's the accuser. Before we sin, he says, "Go ahead, no one will know. You can get away with it." What does he say after that? He says, "You'll never get away with it. You've blown it. You might as well not even serve God." And that's where a lot of people are today. That I'm really burdened about. Satan's goal is not only for you to fall, but his goal is for you and I to stay down. To stay down when we fall. So what have we got to do? We've got to learn to fall or fail forward with the strength that God can give us. I just want to give you three quick things in the time that we have left. How can we fall forward and have the strength to do what we need to do for the Lord? We all need to know how to do this. And the first would be, even when we fall, folks, even when we fail, we've got to remember that God is still sovereign. God is still sovereign. Verse 60 says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew." Now, I have read over that passage a number of times. But do you understand that the rooster crowing was a statement, a testimony that God was still in control here? God had shut the beaks of every rooster in the area until the precise moment of the third denial, and that rooster crowed. If you look back through chapter 22, you'll find that it says much about the sovereignty of God. In verse 61, we see Peter at his worst, failing miserably. But the message that we've got to receive here in this passage is that the Lord is saying, "I am still in control here. Amen. I am the one in control." 2 Peter 2:13, Paul said, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." We often fail God. I do, and so do you. But he never fails. I'm not always faithful to him, and neither are you. But aren't you thankful that we can rejoice with the songwriter who wrote the beautiful hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness"? Amen. That's our God. I'm not so great, but I'm glad that I can relate to another songwriter, hymn writer, who penned the wonderful words, "How great thou art." That's our God. I'm not so great, but I serve a great God, and to learn to fail forward, we've got to remember this. That we've got to remember that even when we are in despair, even when we feel like we're out of control, he is still sovereign. Amen. We serve a sovereign God. Someone has said, "Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Trust in his holy word and he'll put them back together and make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet." Wonderful words. You may feel like you've blown it, and maybe you have. I felt like that a number of times in my life. But no matter what you've done, would you get this? No matter what you have done, God still has a wonderful plan for your life. And you've got to remember that when you fail or when you fall, fall forward in knowing that your God is sovereign. Secondly, I believe when we fail, we've got to remember that God is sympathetic. If you look at verse 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." The moment Peter denied, he turned and he saw the Lord, and their eyes met. Can you picture that moment? Can you picture how Peter must have felt after what he had just done, and his eyes were locked on the eyes of Jesus? Can I submit to you this morning that Peter was not looking at eyes of anger? He was looking at eyes of love. And we've got to remember that God's not changing us so He can love us. He loves us, and therefore He's changing us. God does not love because we're valuable. God help us. God does not love us because we're valuable. We're valuable, folks, because God loves us. We're talking about the unconditional love that our God gives to us. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, "Like a father pitieth, or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame." He remembers that we are dust. Someone has said this, and I love it. God loves us just as we are. And He loves us too much to leave us that way. Can I say this before I go any further, though? And that is that grace is not a license to sin. We're talking about God's grace here. Grace is not a license to sin, and I believe anyone who views it that way has really not had a time in their life where they've accepted Christ as their Savior. You see, it's good to know, though, that when we do fall, when we do fail, our God is sympathetic. And He's sovereign. And then here's the last thing quickly this morning. Even when we fail, we are secure. Even when we fail, we are secure. If you aren't you glad that your salvation doesn't depend on you? Aren't you thankful that your salvation, your access to heaven does not depend on your holding on to God, but on His holding on to us? To that hand that is all-sufficient, to that hand that is ever-strong, to that hand that is giving us the security that we need, that when we're saved, when we're born again, we are forever changed and we're safe and secure in His mighty hands this morning. If you look at verse 31 in the passage here in the same chapter, I like this. And it kind of goes along with what I'm reading. I'm currently doing a study in Job. And boy, what a powerful book Job is. It shows how weak we are and how strong our God is. And it shows so much about our relationship with God and the right kind of relationship we should have. If you ask most people about Job, say, what's the prominent subject in Job? Well, a lot of people say it's pain, it's suffering. But it's not that. If you look at Job and read the entire book and see the perspective of Job, it's about Job's relationship to his God. And the fact that suffering is something that God uses to try us to see how much we really trust Him. And someone has said this, I'll try to get it right. The theme in Job is Job putting his trust in God and serving God not for what he does or for what he allows to happen in our lives. But the picture that we see in Job is not serving God for what he does, but for who he is. Amen. Amen. And he's sovereign. Amen. And we are secure in him. And if you look at verse 31, it says, "Satan hath desired to have you." that he may sift you as wheat. He had to have the same permission to get a hold of Job. And so now here he is after Peter asking permission. He had to ask that. You see, Satan had a plan. He had a desire. He wanted to condemn him. That was Satan's plan. But Jesus allowed the sifting that we read about here. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus allowed the sifting in order to cleanse Peter. Now, here's where it really gets exciting. Jesus knew that Peter had some chaff in his life. And Peter would never deal with it until he became aware of it. So Jesus allowed it. I enjoy hearing an old-time preacher I've heard growing up in Jacksonville a number of times, Harold Clayton out of Texas. And he'd get to a point like this on something where God really rang his bell, and he said, "Hold my mule while I shout." And what we see in this passage here, Jesus is using Satan's tool to help Peter. That's exactly what's happening here. Satan wanted to sift Peter. Jesus wanted to cleanse him. And so, in closing this morning, we've got to understand that our anchor holds. Amen. Our anchor holds in Jesus. His grace is sufficient. And when we fail, when we fall, it's going to be there to help us because we serve a sovereign God. He's sympathetic, and we are secure in Him. And may I say this in relation to what we just read about Peter. Jesus isn't concentrating on the chaff in your life this morning. He sees the wheat. He sees the wheat in your life. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to cleanse me. There are three words that I think kind of sum up Peter's life. Failure, faith, and future. Failure, we see Peter failing here big time. But Jesus says to Peter, just like he says to me and just like he says to you this morning, when we fail, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. And he looks at Peter, and Peter found out later on, you're going to be stronger for what you've gone through. Believe it or not, Peter, you're going to preach and thousands are going to be saved. You're going to write part of the Bible. You're going to voluntarily be crucified for me. And Christian tradition understands that some of the reading that I've done is that Peter felt that at the time of his death and crucifixion, he was not even worthy to be crucified like Jesus and requested to be crucified upside down. That's this man who failed here. And we're seeing that when we fail, and who hasn't, we serve a sovereign God who is behind our struggles and who can help us, and He's ready to help us, and He's sympathetic, and that we're secure in Him. I was in a meeting, a camp meeting over near Chattanooga a couple years ago, and heard a man preach, and he gave the testimony of his two sons. One of the sons was a special needs child. And the preacher told us about how he had come home one evening and he walked down the hallway where the boys' rooms were. And as he walked into the hallway, he heard something unusual. It sounded like baseball. But he heard this, "Strike 8!" Then he heard, "Strike 9!" "Strike 10, strike 11. Well, the boys were in there. They were playing Nerf baseball. And the older brother was pitching to his special needs brother. And so Pastor went on down the hallway, but he got with his son later on that evening. And he said, "What in the world was going on in there tonight with this strike 8, strike 9, strike 10, strike 11? And his son looked up at his dad, and he said, "Dad, I just couldn't bear to strike him out." You see your God in that? You see your God in that? That's the God that we serve. And that His desire is not to strike you out when you mess up in life. His desire and His love for you is to see you fail forward and to trust Him as the sovereign God that He is, and know that He's a sympathetic, compassionate, loving God who's ready to lift you up when you fall. And it's just a reminder that, yes, we fail, we mess up, we are insecure, but hallelujah, we are secure in Him. We are secure in the God of heaven. So God, help us not to allow our failures to become hitching posts in our lives, but to be guideposts, and let God use our failures not to sift us like Satan wants to, but to cleanse us and to move forward for His honor and for His glory. Pastor.